Last week, Larry Andrews, one of your elders, got up and spoke, and I hear he started off by giving free money. That's not going to happen today, okay? I have no free money to give. I wish I would have thought of that first, though, to make you like me all that much more, okay? What did Larry speak about last week? Okay, Romans. What was the topic of Romans last week? Wow. Say it one more time. Promises? Very specific promises. And the condition to receive them is accepting Christ. Jesus made some pretty great promises, didn't he? And he only required one thing, that is through Jesus. You got to figure this out through Jesus. We're going to continue on that. And Paul, you know, shifts gears. We talked about being a slave to Christ a few weeks ago. And Paul continues to build on this analogy of what this looks like to be in Christ. And this week he talks about being adopted into Christ. And we're going to read it. If you don't have a Bible, I want you to go grab one. If you came here and you don't even own a Bible, there's Bibles for free out in the foyer. They're right next to the earplugs. They're not to block out the words of God, okay? They're to block out the noise of the music because Caleb is so loud. You guys are kind of dead today. Are you doing all right? You all right? Okay. All right. This is just a little dead crowd today. So we're going to read in Romans 8, and we're going to back up into what Larry had taught, and we're going to read from 9 through 17. Again, if you don't have a Bible, I want you to have a Bible. We want to give you one. If you're too shy to get up and get one, there's apps, great apps that have Bible apps. YouVersion is one that I use, and it's incredible, all right? So you can just download that and follow along, all right? If you're not reading the Word, you're starving yourself to death. So we're going to read Romans 8, 9 through 17. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation, and it says this. This is the words of Paul to the Roman church. But you are not controlled by your sinful nature. These are these promises that we were talking about that are conditioned on accepting Jesus. You are not controlled by your sinful nature. You are controlled by the Spirit if you have the Spirit of God living in you. And remember that those who do not have the Spirit of Christ living in them do not belong to Him at all. And Christ lives within you, so even though your body will die because of sin, the Spirit gives you life because you have been made right with God. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, He will give life to your mortal bodies by the same Spirit living within you. He goes on to say, and this is our text for today, therefore, dear brothers and sisters, you have no obligation to do what your sinful nature urges you to do. For if you live by its dictates, you will die. But if through the power of the Spirit you put to death the deeds of your sinful nature, you will live. For all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you've received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. And since we are God's children, we are His heirs. In fact, together with Christ, we are heirs of God's glory. But if we are to share His glory, we must also share His sufferings. My tendency is to really focus on this adoption as Jesus' children. My tendency is to want to focus on that because it's beautiful. But I think the muddy waters of the Holy Spirit, this wily thing that we don't really know much about, right? Some of us know kind of. But I want to touch on the Spirit that we receive, that we're actually able to cry out, Abba. And Abba is just like a very intimate term for Father. It would be like our equivalent of like Daddy. Daddy. So a lot of us with this Holy Spirit thing, Caleb was kind of touching on it, you know, this yes from God, this no from God. This Holy Spirit peace is an interesting thing, and it's an interesting thing meaning that we get the Spirit of God, we get Jesus' Spirit when we say yes to Jesus. And this Spirit, a lot of times we want to look at this thing and we say, it's like something we can just sprinkle on our lives from time to time, right? Oh God, I'm traveling today. Holy Spirit, bless our travel. Clear the roads for me today. Oh God, I'm sick. Heal me. Holy Spirit, heal me. We kind of sprinkle it in our lives here and there, but then we kind of forget about it, right? If you're like me. You kind of forget about it and you just don't acknowledge that it's even there. And then you go on to make decisions of what your life's going to be or what your life's going to look like or what you're going to do today or things like that without even a hint of acknowledgement of this Holy Spirit. But then if our day goes bad, then we include the Holy Spirit, right? God, where are you? My day is miserable. I need you. And the reality is that God, this Holy Spirit piece, isn't just this sprinkle on our lives from time to time. It is constant within you who claim Jesus. Does that blow your mind? It's this constant. It's this thing that's always there. It's this thing that is not sporadic. It affects every single activity of every kind, whether it be physical, intellectual, financial, and spiritual. All of those things, the Holy Spirit works within. Did you know that? I didn't know that. I used to sprinkle in the Holy Spirit throughout pieces of my life. And I thought that was okay, that was good. You know, it made me feel good when I would do that, you know, pat on the back. Especially when it came to like financial giving or something, if I found a cause worthy enough to give to, and I was like, oh, well, here's some money. I feel really good about myself. Or whether it was some, you know, just big thing in life, whether it was this big grand thing that happened in my world that I just knew was God. I often call it, you know, God opens the door and kicks us through it kind of moments. There's no mistaking that it's the Holy Spirit. But it's everywhere. He is everywhere. It's not sporadic. It's constant. And He wants to have say in your daily world. He wants to have say in the mundane. He wants to have say in your life. And oftentimes we say, whoa, no. God, how could you care? Holy Spirit, how could you care who I date? Right? Why is that important to you? How could you care where I spend my time? How could you care with what I do with my downtime at my house? How could you care what's on my Netflix queue right now? Now I'm thinking about my next Netflix queue and how could you care how I speak to my children? How could you care about these things? And the Holy Spirit does want to say, the Holy Spirit does have something to say about those things if we would just listen. If we would just understand, if we would just read the Word. The Word is a very directive thing that teaches us and tells us a lot of things. And we have used the phrase here, we are far educated. We are educated far beyond our own obedience. There's a lot of things that we know within Scripture. There's a lot of things that we just refuse to do. And the Holy Spirit's saying, hey, that's not how you're meant to live. That's not how you're meant to be. That's not how you're supposed to be in right being with God. This is what you need to do. It's not sporadic. It's constant. It's not, at least not primarily, protective, but corrective. In the entire context, nothing is said about guarding God's children from receiving physical harm. Did you know that? When we pray for safety, it says nothing about keeping them out of danger when traveling. On the other hand, the immediately preceding context refers to putting to death the disgraceful deeds of the body doing this by the Holy Spirit. And I find that interesting because it talks about us putting things to death through the Holy Spirit. These things, these sins that we understand us to be in wrong being with God, right? Our sins put us in wrong being with God. It's not necessarily wrongdoing, but wrong being. And so we say, God, protect me. God, keep me from harm as I live life to the fullest that's outside of what you say is mine in Christ. Does that make sense? God, protect me as I do meth. Yeah? Does that make sense? It's kind of contrary. Holy Spirit, protect me as I ride my motorcycle at 150 miles an hour. I mean, there's some logical things that we can do that would just destroy us, right? And the Holy Spirit's saying, well, that's your choice, I guess. if you want to be stupid, if you want to go and do these things, you can do those things. You can be outside of my will. You can do those things, and you can die as a result of them. And it's not wrong to pray for protection. It's not wrong to pray for those things. But the Holy Spirit does protect. The Holy Spirit does correct. But the reason which it does so is to point to Jesus. It's to point us to Jesus. It's to point us to righteousness that we talked about how many weeks ago in Romans 1, that our righteousness comes from Jesus. The Holy Spirit does all of these things to point us to Jesus and to point others to Jesus through us. That's a little scary, isn't it? I think about my life and I think about the things that have gone on over the last 9 years of just coming here. We come here and God has spoken some really crazy things to me and to my family. Things that I don't understand, things that don't make any sense, things that take its toll on myself and my family. One of the first ones, I think I told you about the $300 tip that God asked me to give a waitress. Yeah, you remember that story, for those of you that have been here? God asks me, one of the first things he asked me to do, after asking us to come here, which was crazy enough, he asked me to tip this waitress $300, and I'm trying to figure out a way to talk to my wife about, hey, there's a waitress that you don't know that I need to tip $300 to. God said, right? And she looks at me, and this is after weeks of fighting God on this and not wanting to ask my wife, and she looks at me and says, so why haven't you done this yet? Ooh. Okay, well, I'm going to go do that now. And I tip this woman, and she begins to cry. And during our time as she's waiting on me, she's telling me about her family and how they cut her hours drastically and how things just in her world financially aren't good because she's a single mom and she just had this baby, and this is how it helped. The Holy Spirit spoke into that situation. But he used us. He used me to go do these things, which is endangering to myself. It's endangering to myself to go and speak the love of Jesus to people because it's not welcomed everywhere, right? And I'm a big dude. I can take a female waitress, all right? Maybe. Maybe. But it's endangering because I, as a pastor, it was weird for me because I had to go and speak the love of Jesus and tell her, you know, I've been talking to my friend about you. And she said, oh. And I said, his name is Jesus. And she said, oh. You're a freak. You're one of those nutty people. But then when I deliver the message and she sees the love of Jesus firsthand, I walk out and I never saw her again. I never saw her come through the doors here. She wasn't involved in my life in any other aspect. But it was this weird, dangerous thing to do. He asked us to take half salary. My wife and I both heard at the same time here when we were just starting the church about year four, our lead pastor had a family of six. Anybody that has six kids is just crazy to me. Do you not know how that works? Okay? It's just crazy. He had six kids. His salary support from outside ran out, and there was no way Whitewater was going to be able to make up the deficit. So my wife and I both heard from God at the same time saying, you need to take half salary so he can make it, so him and his family can make it. And we said, we don't know how that's going to happen here. We don't know how that's going to affect us. And we do so. And there was cost for us. There was things that we had to give up. There was things that we had to, in our lives, tailor. Well, if we're going to live off half salary, there's freedoms and frivolous expenses that we can't do anymore. Some of it was just how we entertain and meet with you guys and bring you into our homes or take you out for lunch or dinner or whatever. There was things that came at a cost just so other people could make it here. January, about three years ago, there was a couple that lived here. The people actually that were the godparents for their children. They lived here. They were part of Whitewater. They met Jesus here. And the way in which they met Jesus was we used to hire out our children's workers. Meaning we put an ad in the paper and asking for people to come and babysit children on Sunday mornings here. They had to pass a background check. I've never heard of a church doing this. But because we had so few people on our startup team, we asked people from outside in the community to come in and we'll pay them. You're our employee. We'll pay you to do this. And one of our friends, they weren't friends at the time, this gal came and then she brought her boyfriend in. And they met Jesus and then they stopped asking, you know, don't pay us any longer. Let us just serve here. Let us just be here. They move away in January and they call us and said, we've been praying, and we heard that God said you need to buy a house. And I laughed, and I said, you tell the Holy Spirit to spend your money. Because we've always rented here. I like the fact that you can call a landlord, and they come and fix whatever's broken, right? That's not my expense. That's not my deal. So we were living comfortably in a little three-bedroom townhouse on 18th Street. In July of that same year, there was a couple here that helped us move out. There were some people that both got put in jail for drugs. I think they were selling. They were selling and they were in possession of. And both the husband and wife got put into jail and they were Whitewater people. And they said, the grandma calls and says, hey, I've got their kids. Can you help move their stuff into storage so they don't lose everything they have? And so we go and we help these people move into storage who are in jail. And after that move, this couple hands me a card and says, you need to go and open this with your wife. And so I go and I do this, and I open this card with my wife. And in it, there is this beautiful note saying, Coops, you're not in this alone. They quoted the Acts passage where it talked about the people gave as there was need, and then there was a check in there for $15,000. And me being the lead pastor here said, this is awesome, because at that point Whitewater was running a $15,000 deficit. And I said, this covers it. And my wife said, then why is it written to us directly? And I said, I have no idea. And so I called these people that night and I just said, this is an interesting card. This is an interesting check. Help me understand what this is for. And they said, well, we've been praying. And the Holy Spirit said, you need to buy a house. And the Holy Spirit said, we needed to provide the down payment. And I shook my head because this isn't anything that we had talked about with anybody about buying a house or needing a down payment or anything. This was something the Holy Spirit was working on through multiple voices, people that don't even know each other. They didn't. The people in January and the people in July don't even know each other. And so there's a cost then to us of this, okay, well, what does this mean? We lived comfortably in a little three-bedroom home. We were fine. God said, no, you need to buy a home. So we go and we buy this home, and it has the spare bedroom, and it has more room than what we've had now, or what we had then. And all of a sudden, this acquaintance of mine, his life goes to crap. His wife was cheating on him. He doesn't know Jesus. He moves here from somewhere else. They moved here, and within 3 months, his marriage falls apart. And he's out on the street. His wife kicks him out. And he doesn't have a place to live. And the Holy Spirit says, you need to take this guy in for however long it takes. And at this point, you know, God has provided this home for me. At this point, I've seen God take care of us in every way. And I said, okay. And this guy moves in for 2 to 3 months. And every night, it was him bawling on my couch, him not understanding what was going on, him and me pointing him to Jesus. Look, man, your life's terrible right now, and I get that, but I really don't have anything to offer you outside of the promises of what Jesus offered me. Here's what he says about life. Here's what he says about you. Here's how he says he values you. Here's how he says you're precious to him, even when everybody else in your life has abandoned you and turned on you. And then he left, and I haven't seen him since. Went back home after months of living with us. And there was a cost associated with that. But this Holy Spirit speaks to us. This Holy Spirit talks to us. This Holy Spirit speaks to us and says, look, here's where your life is in wrong being, and here's where God is. And together, you and I, the only way you're going to get through this, the only way you're going to get into right being with God is through me, through what I'm asking of you to do. And what I'm asking of you to do is just accept your adoption. What I'm asking of you to do is accept your adoption. See God for the good father he is. And for some of us, we had terrible fathers, and it's hard to even think of what a good father looks like. I get it. I'm sorry. I'm sorry if this analogy is wasted on you. But God is not that father that you had that is not any good. God is so much greater, so much better. And he offers you so much if you would just say yes. There's an incredible quote by a man, a really old man. He's dead now. His name's B.B. Warfield. Some of you might know who he is. He was a professor of theology at Princeton Seminary from 1887 to 1921. And it's kind of a lengthy quote, but I'm going to read it to you. It says this: though it is indeed the Holy Spirit who keeps us in the path and brings us at last to the goal, it is we who tread every step of the way. Our limbs that grow weary with the labor, our hearts that faint, our faith that revives our sinking strength, our hope that instills new courage into our souls as we toil over the steep ascent. Paul speaks not to enable us to escape the difficulties, dangers, trials, or sufferings of this life, but specifically to enable us to conquer sin. He goes on to say, to be led by the Spirit means, But the Spirit becomes this controlling influence in our lives. I think about Hebert's talk for communion about the yes. Do we need to wait for another yes? And these talks that he's had. And what I find is the more I operate within the Spirit, the more that I operate within the kingdom of God, the more that I operate with what I know of God to be true, and the more I do those things, the more I see the Spirit's controlling influence. And it's not a controlling influence in a you know, when we think of a controlling person, we don't think kindly of that person, right? I hope you don't. Come on, people. We don't think kindly of these controlling people, but this controlling nature of the Holy Spirit is a complete benefit to us. Everything about it, everything we do, everything we are, everything it is about pointing us to Jesus, and as a result, pointing others to Jesus. But it's the hard work that we have to walk through it. We've got to experience that toil. We've got to experience that pain, just like, what's his name? Jesus. Yeah. Just like Jesus. So I want to kind of demystify this Holy Spirit for you and try to redefine it for you, because it's not this magic word that we say that takes everything away. If we pray for patience, it's not going to just give us patience. It's going to put us in situations where we have to be patient. Ooh. That hurts. So will you submit to that? Will you be a part of that? This thing that Jesus is doing, this thing that Jesus is calling you into, this adoption. Will you submit to this adoption? Will you walk in this adoption? It's going to be tough, yeah. It's going to be beautiful, too. It's going to hurt you, because it's going to demand of you the things that put you in wrong being with God, and those are the things that we fight the most. How do I know that? Because that's how I have to fight it every day. God, I'd rather be doing this, but Spirit, you're leading me towards this. And every single time you lead me into something, it's more beautiful than anything that I've had for myself. I'm going to submit to that. We're going to do what you ask. So for some of you today, that's just accepting Jesus. The Holy Spirit's been calling you. The Spirit's been working on you. The Spirit's been all around you in undeniable ways. And you've drug your feet up until this point with accepting this adoption, with accepting your son and daughtership. So for some of you today, you just need to tap out right now and just say, okay, Jesus, I'm yours. Because you know truth. There's nothing else that's going to be answered that's going to sell you on Jesus anymore. Except you just stepping out in faith. For some of us, like myself, you've been playing the game for a long time and you sprinkle in the Holy Spirit here and there and you call that good. And I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit has so much more for you than what you're doing now. Every time you tell the Spirit no, every time you say no to what God's asking you to do, you're robbing yourself of the beauty of life, of the promises that Jesus has already spoke over you that is totally yours to just have and be in. You're robbing yourself. Not only are you robbing yourself, but you're robbing the dying world that's around you. And you're not being who Jesus called you to be. Ouch. How do I know that? Because I've been there. I've done that. I've been that person. There's some of you today just walking in the Spirit and doing everything it says, and I applaud that, and I want to keep you going in that. Be strong, my friends. Keep leaning into that. Keep changing your world and the world around you as you point to Jesus. So God, we want to acknowledge who you are. We want to acknowledge what you are. We want to acknowledge our place and your place today. We want to acknowledge that you have promises for us that are so good. God, we want to acknowledge that you didn't give us this spirit of slavery that keeps us in fear, but you've given us an adoption through what Jesus has done, because you love us so much. God, for all the game players out there, break us. Break us of playing the game. Break us of sprinkling a little bit of Holy Spirit in our lives here and there. And let us just be immersed in that. Let us just be bathing in that Holy Spirit. Because you have stuff to say about every aspect of our lives, every piece of our lives. God, we want to hear from you on that.
Father, for those of us that have yet to accept any kind of adoption from you and say yes to you, Father, break us this morning. We want to see you for who you are. God, these promises are real. I think back of Jesus' words in John. If you do these things, if you live these things out, you will know truth. And the truth will set you free. Father, bring those people to that place. God, may they dare to live something out today that you've asked them to, that you've called them to. May they see that truth, Father, and may that truth set them free into the adoption that you've given them, that's available to them. Father, for those of us that hear from your Spirit, for those of us that live within your Spirit, from those of us that consult your Spirit, we celebrate with joy. We celebrate with thanksgiving. We celebrate in our adoption. God, continue to speak into our lives. Continue to speak into the lives of others around us that they would know your adoption. God, continue to change our hearts to be in right being with you. God, continue to make us better lovers of our families, to make us better lovers of the clerks at Walmart or the waitresses or waiters at restaurants or the baristas that get our coffee orders wrong and the baristas that get our coffee orders right. God, we want to be obedient to what you have to say to us this morning. It's in your name we pray. And everybody said, amen.